Good morning, everyone. I'm Paul Collings, and I'm very pleased to welcome Tony Fernandez back to our church today as a preacher, Pastor Tony Fernandez. The Collings family has a special bond with the Dominican Republic and longstanding relationships with many families in the Dominican, and we're very fortunate and thankful to have that relationship. We began our visits to the DR in the 80s, and we first met Tony over 25 years ago, which is pretty hard to imagine. Before I ask Tony to come forward, and since he needs very little introduction, as we all know, I'd like to welcome his wife, Clara. And Clara, would you please stand? Yeah. Thank you, Clara. Clara was by Tony's side throughout his Major League Baseball career, and I think you can imagine what that's all about. And they've raised five children, okay? She now spends much of her time in support of the Tony Fernandez Foundation in the Dominican Republic, and also has time for outreach activities in her hometown in the Dominican as well. So she's a very busy lady. The Tony Fernandez Foundation works with underprivileged children in the DR substantially. And as an indication of Tony's love and respect for Toronto, the foundation also supports Urban Promise here in Toronto. I encourage you to say hello to Clara and Tony at the coffee hour today. And I've been asked three times to tell you that the UCW have baking there as well. So I must say that or I'm in big trouble. As you are all aware, Tony achieved remarkable success as a baseball player and made a major contribution to the success of the Toronto Blue Jays. Tomorrow night, actually, he will be inducted into the Ontario Sports Hall of Fame, which is an honor in itself. Tony is here today to talk about his journey from success to significance. Pastor Tony Fernandez.
Good morning. I bring you greetings from the warm country of the Dominican Republic. It's raining there too, but it's always warm. You know, today when I was meditating, first of all, I'd like to thank Reverend Hugh for giving me this opportunity to share from this pulpit. I know the pastors are concerned they're not too kind sometimes or too key on sharing their purpose, and I know why. They review this position, and they know that such a position needs to be reverent. It needs to be treated with holiness. Sometimes we treat it like without care. But anyway, when I was meditating this morning about this reflection, actually since yesterday morning around 4 o'clock in the morning, and today I like to get up early and do my meditation, and I ask to seek God's direction before I do anything. When I play baseball, I did the same thing. I will meditate usually 1 hour before each game. That's what I got my strength as a baseball player. When I was connected to my Creator, because we all know about success. I can talk about success because I've been there, done that. Many of you have done the same thing. But we know that there are many definitions for the word success, as there are different personalities. However, I want to talk to you today a little bit about a life of success, going from a life of success into one of greater significance. And to do that, in order to do that, we need to talk about someone. Actually, I chose two persons from the Bible. One of them is the Apostle Paul. The other one is the Lord Jesus himself. As the Reverend read in the letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, also, he read some in chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is giving his pedigree, basically. He's talking about all his accomplishments. He's saying, I am a Pharisee of Pharisees. I have accomplished many things. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I've done everything, basically. I'm a jealous man for the things of God. I'm a student of the Word of God. And yet, I consider all those things that are supposed to make me great, a future rabbi or a young rabbi, I consider all those things as rubbish. Can we say that Paul, the Apostle Paul, reached success in his life? Yes, indeed. He reached success. He did basically everything that he wanted to. As a matter of fact, he started to persecute the church at one point, thinking that he was doing God a favor. He said, I had to persecute these people because they do not know who they're serving. I know who I am, who I'm serving. I am Saul before he became Paul. Until he had an encounter with the presence of God. And I want to tell you all that we cannot have success in life until we understand that we must be connected to our living source, to our source of life. The Lord Jesus himself, in the book of John, chapter 15, he says, I am the vine, I am the truth. Away from me, you cannot have success. Apart from me, you can't do anything. And yet, we as human beings believe that we can reach success without being connected to the true vine. In like manner, when I speak about the Apostle Paul and I meditate about my career, I can say that, yes, I reached success. My young career started in 1980. I was signed at 17 years old in Dominican Republic. And I was considered one of the best prospects at that time. I came to the minor league system with the Blue Jays, reaping success year after year. And I made a promise to the Lord. And I said, one day after I finish my successful baseball career, because for some reason I thought I was going to be successful. I said, one day when I finish my successful baseball career, I will serve you. Give me that opportunity, Lord. I made a covenant with him. He allowed me. He played the game. He went along with my game. Okay, little one, I'm going to let you have success. So I came on, keep on having success. In 1983, something happened to me while I was in AAA. Midway through the season, I dove for the ball up the middle, and I landed the wrong way, and I had a hairline fracture on my wrist, left wrist. I kept playing baseball. Then at the end of the year, when I went back to my country, they x-rayed my hand because it was bothering me, and they decided to put a cast on. They brought me back to the States, so I lost that winter baseball season. But the following year, I came back, strong as ever. But that was the year that I had an encounter with the presence of God. That's when true success began in my life. We were at Boston, June 23 or 24 of that year. And I remember we were having baseball chapel. We went to the shower. Usually, they pick a place where to have that reunion. The Boston Red Sox visiting clubhouse is very small. So we chose the bathroom. We went there, we all picked our chairs. I remember we heard the preaching, the sermon, and afterwards, the speaker asked if any of us want to accept Christ. And something was really burning inside of me. I want to make a decision, but I was afraid also. How are they going to look upon me? how are my friends going to be looking upon me if I make that decision? So I went to my good friend, my best friend, Jesse Barfield, and I told him, right in the middle of the clubhouse after we finished, Jesse, I don't know, I was feeling this urgency inside of me to accept Jesus as my Savior. But I was afraid. I was afraid to speak. So he said, why were you afraid? I said, I don't know, I just was afraid. And he called Roy Lee Jackson and the other believers. And I remember we all gathered in front of my locker room, and I made the sinner's confession for the first time. I believe me, that's when my life or my career turned around. Because I wasn't playing every day, but suddenly a new boost of confidence came upon me. I played like I was the best on the field. I played like I was reaching, when I was running to first, I ran like I was running towards Jesus. I always look upon him. And Jesse and I have a sign, you know, from short and right field. They're making an exchange. Being a new pitcher, and we look at each other and say, oh, if the Lord comes now, they're going to be without a shortstop, without right fielder. And we just laugh. We had that communication between us. But to make a long story short, I keep reaping success in my career. Came up to the major in 1985, where I had my first full season. Actually, I came up in 1984 again after May 21st. And then in 1985, after they traded Alfredo Griffin, Paul Collins' good friend, and my good friend too, and they gave me the position, I had a great year. I was the Sporting News Rookie of the Year. So my success continued. From an earthly standpoint, I was having success. Everything that I wanted was going my way. I was on top of my game, like we say in Dominican. I was on the top of the mountain. I was in my glory days. Couldn't do nothing wrong. I was having a life of success. 1986, I won my first Gold Glove, which was part of my main goal. See, I want to win a Gold Glove. I want to make it to an All-Star game. I want to win a batting title. I want to win a World Series. I did everything, basically, except winning a batting title here in the big leagues. But I won the batting title in Dominican, in the Winter League. So whatever I win, I have success. But one day, not too long ago, I went to my ranch in Dominican Republic, where we have a community center, and I saw the trophy that they gave me when I won the batting title in Dominican, sitting in one corner, outside, near the swimming pool, collecting dust. And I said, I don't understand this. I remember when I had this year, when I won this batting title, how meaningful this was to me. This was part of my success as a baseball player. And yet, like the Apostle Paul, now we is rubbish. It was garbage. He said, I consider all those things that I have gained as garbage for the sake of knowing Christ, for the sake of getting the revelation of who Christ is. I consider my whole life worthless apart from him. And that's when I find out, after I retire, basically, that my life has never been the same after I have the holy encounter with the presence of God. It is after I met Christ, basically, face to face, that I understood what it is to go from a life of success into one of greater significance. When I started serving the needy ones, and I would say the same thing to you. Do you know when you can be certain that you have reached a life of success or a life of greater significance? When you stop eating so others can eat. When you stop wearing the nice shoes that you wore sometimes, so others can wear those nice shoes. When you sacrifice yourself, as Jesus Christ did, as the book of Philippians will say, you know, as a former shortstop, I'm on. Good. Okay, let's start the game now. As a former shortstop, I like to move around. Can't be still one place. I feel like it's too formal. If I stay there, I strike out. I had to move around and get a feeling for the field. The Lord Jesus himself is talking about his success, his heavenly success in Philippians 2, basically. He says that he did not consider being equal to God was something to grasp on. He did not consider being the second person of the Trinity, being God himself. You need to understand something. Jesus is the face of God. We have not seen God. Nobody has seen God. He is the face of the living God. The book of Colossians 1:15 says, he's the image of the living God, the image of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the voice of God. So you can say very clearly that Jesus Christ reached a life of success, of heavenly success. But yet the Lord himself, his Father, is telling him, you have to go down. You got to take a form of a man so you can go and redeem, reclaim your creation, as the book of Colossians would say, chapter 2. It would say that he created all things. He created heaven. He created basically everything. See, in creation, God begins. He has a thought. The Father has a thought. But it's the Father. He's the architect. But it's the Son that executes the Father. He's the civil engineer. And then the Holy Spirit is what gives life. So the triune God know what is a life of success in the heavenly, of course. But Jesus Christ, just like as the Apostle Paul, he said he put everything, the kenosis theory says that he put everything aside. All his glory, he put it aside. All his heavenly success. You see, he has existed with the Father always from the beginning. And yet he put everything aside. To come down to earth. Why? To lay down his life so he can gain, as man, so he can gain a life of greater significance. He gained that life of greater significance when he, for faith, basically, he gave up his right as the Son of God. One day in prayer, I asked the Lord, why? You say in your prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, when you resurrected, you say, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And the reply came to my spirit. I always have my position in heaven as a son. But I'm coming up now to heaven as a son of God and as a son of man. Therefore, I have authority in heaven, which always I have regained that authority. But now I also regain the authority of the earth. Because I am the second Adam. Jesus Christ is the second Adam. He has a heavenly success. But now he wants to gain the earthly success. By dying, by laying down his life, he brought all humanity back to himself. And that's what we got to do if you want to go from a life of success into one of greater significance. We need to die to ourselves. If I stand here, I see Tony Fernandez, the export player. But when I come here, I see the minister. The one that is serving God, the one that has put aside all his accomplishments, or his earthly success in order to win a better life, in order to move from a life of success into one of greater significance. That's why we created our foundation, to help needy children. That's why we go on our mission trips, to serve the needy one. And I have made a commitment to my Lord and Savior that I will dedicate the rest of my days serving the underprivileged one, especially underprivileged children. There are many children that will never accomplish a life of success, will never reach a life of success unless they find a mentor next to them, unless someone will stand with them and say, I be with you all the way. I'm going to be standing next to you. I want to make sure that you follow, that you reach your dream. That's what we're doing now in the TFF ministry and through our Apple Kingdom ministry. We want to make sure that these young kids will follow, will find that dream. But we want to make sure that they understand that the earthly success is not the main reason that God brought him here for. We are not accident. We were put here for a reason, to fulfill his purpose, to be connected with him. And I go back to the scripture, John. Without me, apart from me, you won't have success. One of the first commandments that the Lord gave the first man, Adam, and his wife Eve, was be fruitful and multiply. Mainly he's saying, be fruitful, have success, replenish the earth. But he's saying something else as well. He first, before he told him, be fruitful and multiply, have success on earth, he said, be blessed. Unless God bless something that you're doing, it won't be able to be multiplied. You won't be able to have success. He blessing, like the word blessed actually means to be empowered in the supernatural way to be successful. That's what he did with the first man. Say, I bless you. Go and be successful and multiply what I'm giving you. And that's what he does us, that he's done with us, the athletes. I'm giving you the gift to play baseball. I'm making you successful on the field. Now go and multiply yourself. Go and make the life of others better. When you do that, and then you can say that you have passed from a life of success or a career of success into one of greater significance. When you are able or you are willing to die, to lay down your life so others can lead. When you stop eating sometimes so others can eat. I will say that in a marriage. Sometimes we want to wear a nice suit. I like wearing a nice suit. I like to be clean. But at times, sometimes my wife says, well, I want to buy me a nice dress. That dress is too expensive. But I have to understand. I say, wait a minute. I have to die to myself. I have to put that George Armani, whatever that suit that I want to get, I have to put it aside. So she can have her Oscar that I rent that dress. That's correct. I want my Georgia money, girl. And she had her dress. So I began to die to myself in many aspects of my life so she can have what she wants. So she can go, for example, I finished my career of baseball. I reached great success, yes. But she has a career too, and I know she wants to fulfill her dream as well. So when I die to myself and allow her to be what God created to be, then I know that I'm passing as well from a life of success into one of greater significance. When I die to myself, to my ego, so others can live, then I know that I'm passing from a life of success into one greater significance. That's the greatest joy is coming into my life now. Yes, when I hit 300, when when I reached the All-Star game, when I went, won my first ball glove, when I won my first World Series, all those things were great, great success. And I value and I cherish those moments. But it's the moment that I'm living now that I understand is bringing me the greatest satisfaction. When I see a child smiling because he has a pair of shoes or he's putting food in front of him, he has something to eat because of the effort that we made. Because we allow God to use us, that's bringing to me a greater significance. Because I have died to myself so the little one can live. And I challenge you today, in a way, I exhort you to die to yourself in many aspects so others can come to life. I don't know how long they gave me. Actually, they gave me like 20 minutes. My wife is telling me, you're done already. You passed. You way past. The game is over. The game is being, it's been the ninth inning already. Well, I don't know if the game is tied. Sometimes the game is tied, and you feel a little bit of inspiration in the last minute, and you get that bunt or whatever, you make that play to bring the winning run home. In closing, I will say once again, have you started living a life of greater significance? After you reach all your success, from an earthly standpoint, are you willing now to begin to live a life of greater significance? If you are willing to lay your life for others' sake, then you can say with me, with the Lord, with Apostle Paul, everything that I have gained, it means nothing in comparison to gaining the knowledge of who Christ Jesus is in my life. I thank you so much for your time. I don't want my wife to be pulling my ears later. So I thank you so much for your time. May God bless you. I hope to see you in the near future again. Thank you so much.